Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of PastorStudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. One of the greatest men in the history of the world is Abraham. Three of the great world religions, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, trace their roots back to Abraham. So what I want to do in this program is tell you the story of Abraham and then draw lessons from his life for our lives. So would you pray with me as we begin? Father, we want to pray now that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through the life of this Old Testament patriarch, and may we learn from his life what you want us to do in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here is the history of the world in a nutshell. God creates the heavens and the earth. Adam and Eve fall into sin. They populate the world. It becomes so wicked, God wipes it out with the flood of Noah. He starts over. Noah's descendants populate. And then about the first date that we've got an approximation for is the birth of Abraham. About 2000 BC, there's a pagan idolater by the name of Abraham who lives in Babylon. God wants to get a chosen people, because at this point in history, people are worshiping the stars and the moon, and almost nobody knows the true God. So God, at age 75, God appears to Abraham and says, I want you to take your wife and all that you own and go to Israel, the promised land, and I will bless you, and you'll have tons of descendants. So Abraham, who I think barely knows who this God is that's talking to him, does that. And then God says to Abraham one night, go look at the stars. And Abraham looks up and God says, that's how many descendants you will have. All the earth will be blessed through your descendants. And then Abraham has to wait another 15 years. But when Sarah, his wife, is 90, and Abraham is 100, they have their first son through Sarah. His name is Isaac, and the Jews, the chosen people, have begun. And then you maybe know this story. So Isaac is born. He grows into be a young boy, man. God says, Abraham, take that Isaac up on top of the mountain and sacrifice him. And with great anguish, Abraham takes his son on top of the mountain. He takes the knife. He's about to sacrifice his son, and the angel stops him and says, Abraham, now I know that you fear God, and because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, from me, I will multiply your descendants like the stars, and all the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants. And who is the descendant of Abraham who blessed the planet? Jesus. Well, the end of the story is Abraham dies at age 175. Abraham's descendants, the Jews, do get the land of Israel, but first they have to serve Pharaoh in Egypt as slaves for 400 years. Then about 1400 BC, God sends Moses to get the Jews out of Egypt into the Promised Land. And then the Jews live in the Promised Land until 586 BC, when God is tired of all the idolatry of the Jews. He punishes them by taking them for 70 years to Babylon to be slaves in Babylon. But then God lets them return. They live in the Promised Land again. The Jews and the Gentiles kill Jesus about 32 AD. And then the Romans come in and destroy Jerusalem, 70 AD, and the Jews are scattered to the four winds. But then in 1948, the Jews get the promised land back again, Israel becomes a nation again, and God is still keeping his promise to Abraham that your descendants will get the promised land. Now, that is the story of Abraham. Let me share with you lessons I get from that story. Lesson number one. When God says go, go. Abraham was 75 years old when God said, take everything you have, leave Babylon for the promised land. And Abraham did. My question for you watching this show is, how open are you to change? If God wants to bump his life, your life with his plans, if he told you at age 75 to move to Zimbabwe, would you do it? I was asked to speak at a church down in Iowa. It's a Lutheran ELCA church. They're thinking of leaving their liberal, unbiblical branch of Lutheranism for a more biblical branch of Lutheranism. So I went down to Iowa to speak to them on why I think, yes, you should do that. And this was a smaller church. They love the Lord. They love the Bible. But you could tell the change was just so hard for them. And, you know, I never followed up. I don't know if they ever voted to leave the ELCA for another denomination or not, but how open are you to change? You've ever heard the joke, how many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? There are three punchlines. Punchline number one, change! Punchline number two, three. One to change it and two to tell you how much they like the old one better. And punchline number three is, what do you mean? My grandfather donated that light bulb. My point is, we need, at whatever age you're at, to be real open to God bumping your life for his other plans. Next lesson I learned from Abraham, God chooses the unworthy. Abraham was not seeking God. In fact, he was seeking false gods. Never says that Abraham was saying, oh, what true God should I go to from what I... No, Abraham was just a pagan idolater. God chose them anyway and started the chosen people. I got an email, Pastor Brock, I've been baptized, confirmed, I believe in Christ, but I so often feel unworthy. And I wrote her back and I said, me too, because we are unworthy. But nevertheless, hallelujah, God chooses to save and to use unworthy people, which is all of us. Next thing I learn from Abraham. Sometimes God asks us to kill what we love. When God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, that was God asking for radical obedience. Sometimes God asks us to radically obey him. I mean, maybe you're in a relationship that you love, but you know it's not a godly relationship. So God would have you put that to death. I mean, maybe you've got a sin habit that you really enjoy, but you know that's not something the Lord wants you to do. So you need to put that to death. Sometimes for your good and his glory, God asks you to kill something. There's a story of a performer who trained a boa constrictor. And the performer would come on stage and whistle, and this snake would slither out on stage. And the snake would wind its way around the man's body until his head was above the man's head. Then the man would whistle again, and the snake would unwind and slither off the stage. This man did this performance many times. One night he whistled. The snake came out, wound himself around the man's body, got his head above the man's, and then for reasons nobody knows, all of a sudden the audience heard a loud crack. And that was the last performance. And so will it be for every man who makes a pet of sin. Sometimes God asks you to kill something you love, but when he does that, he's doing that for your good. That's for your benefit that he does that. Next thing I learn from Abraham. Abraham was saved in the same way that we are. Faith. You know, sometimes I get people asking, well, are the Old Testament people going to be in heaven? Because they died before Jesus died on the cross, so they won't be in heaven, will they? And the answer is yes. Jesus said, you will see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And the Old Testament saints are saved in the same way New Testament people are. It's faith. Let me give you the definition of saving faith. Faith is trusting God to keep his promises. Faith is trusting God to keep his promises. Now, granted, the Old Testament people didn't know the promises of God like we do, but they had some. And the difference is they believed in the Christ who was to come. We believe in the Christ who has come, but we're both saved in the same way, trusting God to keep his promises in Christ. Next lesson I learned from Abraham. God uses old people. Abraham was 100. His wife Sarah was 90 when they started the promised, the chosen people through the Jews, through Isaac. When I was down in Iowa speaking to that church about getting out of the ELCA Lutheran, I'm a Lutheran still, but I'm trying to get people into more biblical branches of Lutheranism. They're a godly couple. They were chauffeuring me around down there, and they love the Lord. And they're getting flack from their more liberal pastor who does not want to leave the ELCA Lutheran denomination. And they said to me, you know, Tom, we're 80 years old. About all the fight is out of us. And I think I said to them, you know how old Moses was when God started to use him? 80 years old. So I said, don't give up. God's still got a plan for your life and a purpose for your life, even at age 80. Next thing I learned from Abraham, God always keeps his promises, but in his time, in God's time. Again, Abraham had to wait till he was 100 before he got the boy who would start the Jews, the chosen people. And Israel did get the promised land, but first they had to wait through 400 years of slavery in Egypt before they got the promised land. And so let me say this. Some of God's promises won't come true until the next life. I remember a man that used to go to the church I served, and he had multiple sclerosis. He was in a wheelchair, crippled up. His mind was sharp, but his body was falling apart. You could barely understand his words. But I think one Sunday morning, I was preaching on this, and I said, you know, sometimes God heals our bodies down here, but always he will heal our bodies up there. And the man in the wheelchair said something that kind of put a tear to your eye. He said it very loud for everybody to hear, Amen. God keeps every promise in this book. Some of them he keeps down here. Some of the promises he keeps up there. But God keeps his promises in his time. Last thing I learned from Abraham, God keeps his promises in ways better than we can imagine. Remember, God says to Abraham, through your seed, your descendants, I'm going to bless the whole world. And who was the descendant of Abraham who blessed the whole world? Jesus Christ. Abraham would not have dreamt that. Abraham didn't know that God was going to send his son to die on the cross, rise from the dead. So God kept his word to Abraham, but he did it in a way that Abraham would never have imagined. That still happens. I want to close with this. I have a pastor friend in Omaha, and he told me this story. There is this evangelist in India who desires to raise up 1,000 evangelists to save people in India. He comes to the United States to try to raise support. When he's in the United States, he gets a phone call from his wife in India saying, I had a vision last night that today on the airplane, you're going to meet someone who will help you do this ministry. So the evangelist is watching the people get on the plane, and here's a businessman in a suit, and here's somebody else, and here's a guy in a baseball cap and tennis shoes, and he's thinking, well, it's not the... And so he sits down on the plane. Well, who sits right next to him but the guy in the baseball cap, a pastor friend that I know? It talks to the evangelist. The evangelist discovered he's a pastor, and tell me about your ministry. And the Indian evangelist said, well, we help widows and orphans come off the street. We have an orphanage building. We're about to lose it because of the mortgage. So I'm trying to raise $22,000 to keep the building. The pastor went back to his church, raised $22,000. They kept the building. And through the years, I was just told this recently, this Omaha Lutheran Church has funded the ministry in India for multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I heard that and I thought, isn't that the Lord keeping his promises in ways you wouldn't imagine, through people you wouldn't imagine in a baseball hat? So let's review the great life of Abraham. Here's what we have learned from Abraham. Lesson number one was, when God says go, you go, even if you're 75 years old. God chooses the unworthy. Abraham was not worthy to become the... This is called grace. God chooses unworthy people like us. Sometimes God asks us to kill what we love, but he does that for our own good. Abraham was saved in the same way we Christians are saved, trusting God to keep his promises. God uses old people. God always keeps his promises, but in his time and in his way, and he can do things through people you never would dream would be the people through whom God keeps his promises. That is what we learn from the Old Testament patriarch Abraham. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question, are the Jews still the chosen people?
Well, Abraham was the founder of the Jews because God wanted to get a specific people to whom he would reveal himself in the midst of all the pagan polytheism chaos. Are the Jews still the chosen people? Well, God sent the Messiah, the Christ, to save the Jews. By and large, the Jews rejected Christ, although all the apostles, like Paul, were Jewish. So I think at that point, the chosen people became the church. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean the Jews are not part of God's plan anymore? No. And I would encourage everybody, read Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 that teach that after the time of the Gentiles, after the non-Jews get saved by Christ, there will be a conversion of Jews to Christ before the end. So God is not finished with the Jews. He still has plans. I think many Jews will convert and come to Christ before the end. But you got to read. Paul asked that question. How come God's chosen people rejected the Messiah? What's going on here? And Paul, who's Jewish, writes Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 to answer that sticky question. So read it on your own.
Okay. Do Jews, Muslims, and Christians believe in the same God?
They all are monotheists. Jews, Christians, and Muslims all believe in one God. Hindus are polytheists. They believe in many gods. So it is true that Jews, Christians, and Muslims all believe in one God. I don't think it's the same one God. Because for me, the way I understand God, the Bible, Jesus is God. Mm-hmm. For a Muslim, it's heresy to say Jesus is God. You can lose your life in some countries. For me, you're a heretic if you deny that Jesus is God. For a Muslim, you're a heretic if you do believe Jesus is God. We can't both be right. We can't both believe in the same God. You know, maybe the Muslims are right and we're wrong, but we can't both be right. We do believe in different gods. It all depends on what you think about Jesus. So the answer is no.
No. Okay. How do I know if God is calling me to move somewhere else?
Well, Abraham was special in that he had God appear to him.
Yes.
I think that's very rare. But God still has his way of letting us know what he wants us to do. Mm-hmm. And sometimes somebody might say something to you, or you might have a dream, or you'll have a strong feeling.
And then you've got to test that out. Is that from God or the devil? And mm-hmm. so Proverbs says, in an abundance of counselors, there's victory. So if Mona, if at my age, God says, Tom, I want you to move to California in a dream, I'd wake up thinking, mm-hmm. what was that? And I'd bounce it off a few Christian friends of mine. Mm-hmm. I'd pray about it. James chapter 1 says, yep. pray in faith and he'll give you wisdom. Mm-hmm. So he still has ways of telling us, but sometimes it can be rather a headache figuring out what's what. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Continue to pray about
there it. There you go.
Where does it say in the Bible a Christian shouldn't marry a non-Christian?
Yeah. You know, I know a person who married an unbeliever. Mm-hmm. And I know another person who was on the verge of marrying someone that maybe was not the right person, and that fell through. But listen, if you're a Christian, the Bible says you marry a Christian. Mm-hmm. And that is found in 2 Corinthians 6:14. Don't be unequally yoked yep. with unbelievers. So if you're a believer and you fall in love with an unbeliever, sorry, mm-hmm. you don't marry an unbeliever. And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, If you're a widow, you're free to marry whoever you will. Mm-hmm. But then he adds, but only in the Lord, meaning you find a Christian spouse.
Do you think that sometimes people get married thinking, I will change that person?
Yes, and that's not a smart thing. I'm sure you do and I do too, mm-hmm. know dear Christian people who think that they're going to evangelize their spouse. The spouse never comes to Christ, and so they have a long, difficult marriage because they're on different planets regarding what's important in life.
True.
Yeah.
Are the Old Testament believers in heaven now or waiting for Judgment Day to be raised from the dead?
Well, if you read Luke 16, the poor man dies, and he says he goes to Abraham's bosom right then. Mm-hmm. So Abraham's in paradise right now. And then if you remember, before Jesus died on the cross, he took Peter, James, and John on top of the mountain of transfiguration, and he shined before them. Mm-hmm. And who appears to Jesus to talk to him but Moses and Elijah mm-hmm. from the Old Testament? They weren't sleeping.
Right.
They were awake and talking to Christ. It says, and you know, it's fascinating. It says they were talking to Jesus about his upcoming exodus mm-hmm. or departure. And what's fascinating, you got the Old Testament Exodus man, Moses, alive and talking to the New Testament Exodus man, Jesus. I mean, Moses, God used Moses to save them out of Egypt. Jesus saves us out of hell. But it's a wonderful passage. Yeah. Hmm.
Interesting. Can you recommend a good missions group overseas?
I can recommend a number. Campus Crusade for Christ, now called CRU, has something called the Jesus Film Project. Mm-hmm. where they show the Jesus film in all languages all over the world. People get converted and they start home churches. It's called the Jesus Film Project by CRU, C-R-U. Mm-hmm. The Timothy Initiative is a wonderful ministry starting churches in Nepal and India and also in Africa. There's something called Reaching Unreached Nations, which goes after the hardest spots in the world, some of the very closed Muslim nations, mm-hmm. but they're converting some Taliban to Christ. Mm. It's called Reaching wow. Unreached Nations. Samaritan's Purse is good. So there's all kinds of really good missions groups.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and let's see. Someone else wrote in, if you commit your life to Christ and then later mess up and sin bad, does that mean you were never saved to begin with? I've lost my wife and family because of my sin. It seems to me that the Apostle Paul got saved and didn't mess up after he came to Christ.
Yeah, that's a hard one. I think you want to say this. After conversion, if you sin really bad, does that mean you weren't really saved to begin with? I think the answer is you were really saved to begin mm-hmm. with. David committed murder and adultery.
Yes.
But was his life apart from God before that? No, he really knew God, mm-hmm. but then he blew it. And so I talked with this person. I said, you know, yes, we do sin after conversion. You don't know that the Apostle Paul was pure after he got converted. In fact, Paul himself says, not that I am already perfect, mm-hmm. but I strain forward to the goal of the upward call. I forget what lies behind. Don't kick yourself. And as a believer, after conversion, if you sin really bad, then you do 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe we sin in thought, word, and deed every day.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah.
Every day. Why do people say that St. Peter holds the keys to heaven and that he meets us at the pearly gates?
Yeah. Well, this comes from Matthew 16, where Jesus says, Peter, you're the rock on which I'm going to build my church. Mm-hmm. Whoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Whatever you retain, you retain. And then Jesus says the same thing to all the apostles in John chapter 20, whoever sins you forgive. That means that's called the keys of the kingdom, that God has given to the church the ability to loose and to bind. So I think so that's why I think confession is a good thing. Mm-hmm. It can be to a pastor, it can be to a priest, it can just be to a dear Christian friend, mm-hmm. where you, as a Christian, have the authority to say, you hear their sin and you say, I can see you trust in Christ, I proclaim to you the forgiveness of sins. You also can bind them and say, you know, until you repent, mm-hmm. you're in trouble, your soul's in trouble. So that's where that comes from. And will Peter literally greet us mm-hmm. at the pearly gates and determine who gets in? No,
no,
it never says that. But you know, Mona, Ole and Lena have a terrible marriage. Ole dies and goes to the pearly gates. There's St. Peter. St. Peter says, Ole, for you to get in here, you got to answer one word properly. You got to spell one word properly. Well, that's St. Peter. Love. Ole says, L-O-V-E, love. St. Peter says, you're in. Well, St. Peter gets to know Ole, and after a number of years, St. Peter says, Ole, I got to run an errand. Would you watch the gates? You know what they got to spell. So St. Peter takes off, and who starts coming toward the pearly gates but Lena? And he says, well, Lena, I'm surprised to see you. And she says, well, yeah, I'm surprised to see you in there, Ole. Well, Lena, for you to get in here, you have to be able to spell one word properly. Okay, Ole, what's that? And he said, Czechoslovakia. Bum! All right, but anyway, yeah, those are common jokes, mm-hmm. but it never says Peter meets us at the gate.
Okay, another question: should Christians attend a funeral of a foreign culture, like in Japan, sending the body down the river?
I think she's probably thinking of India.
Okay,
where they? So I can go to a non-believer's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pray to Buddha, and I can't do certain things. But I can attend the funeral of someone as long as I don't have to partake in any kind of mm-hmm. anti-Christian practice. Yeah,
just being respectful and attending the funeral.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you for watching us today. Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, as the grass withers and the flowers fade, the word of our God stands forever. We thank you for joining us today. Bless you. And did you have any final words?
Just everybody, if you want to see this show, go to pastorstudy.org. If you support us, please tell us where you see this show, and that'll help us keep track. God bless.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.